Every year, Earth Day rolls around to remind us of the shared world we live in and the ways we can alter our habits to be better stewards of our home. But if you ask any environmentalist, these are things we should think about long term, not just one day of the year. But since it's spring cleaning season, today we'll talk about how to dispose of trash and household waste responsibly and where local jurisdictions are in their goals to cut down on all that household waste. You can join the conversation. Give us a call, 800-433-8850. Do you have questions on how to get rid of certain household waste, paint, batteries, large furniture? What do you think the city should be, or suburbs for that matter, should be doing more to dispose of waste responsibly? Joining me in studio is Christopher Shorter. He is director of the D.C. Department of Public Works. Chris Shorter, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, Kojo. Thank you for having me.
What common mistakes do residents make when putting out their trash and recyclables?
Well, education is such an important piece of what we do. And so I would say the common mistake is probably not knowing exactly what to recycle. We can historically, just by way of example, residents could not dispose of pizza boxes in the recycling. Today they can. And so the mayor last year combined the list of what we can recycle in the district. So it doesn't matter if you're at home, if you're in a restaurant, or if you're at work, the list of recyclables is standard across the entire city.
Also joining us by phone is Adam Ortiz, director of the Prince George's County Department of the Environment. Adam Ortiz, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kojo.
I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Chris. What common mistakes do you observe that residents tend to make most often when putting out their trash or recyclables?
Chris is absolutely right. The only thing I would add is that jurisdictions have moved away from taking plastic film. So that means plastic bags. And I know in the District of Columbia, there aren't many because of the plastic bag fee. But we no longer take that material, and nationwide, jurisdictions are moving away from taking that material.
How does your department enforce these standards? What kind of rule breaking is common in your area, and what can your department do about it?
So there's a couple things, Kojo. So at the curb, the haulers come by and they flip the lid open and they do take a quick look, quick scan. They see that there's contamination like food or garbage of some kind, they'll leave it. And usually just leaving it at the curb is punishment enough to correct behavior among residents. But also commercial businesses that tip at our recycling facility in Capitol Heights, every time one of those trucks tip the material, there is a person on staff who takes a quick look as well, and if there's a lot of plastic film or a lot of styrofoam or material like that, it will be scooped up and sent right back where it came from.
And Chris, it's my understanding that in D.C. there's something called the SWEEP program. What's that?
You got it. The SWEEP program, or the inspectors that make up our SWEEP team, are the men and women who are responsible for educating and enforcing our codes around cleanliness and litter. And so the SWEEP inspectors are the men and women who work with our businesses, restaurants, multi-unit dwellings to make sure that they understand their role and how to be good neighbors and good partners. They are also the men and women who, for example, they are the ones who dig through our public litter bins when there is misuse or someone is using the public litter bin for their private waste versus for the loose litter that you might have when you walk down the street. They dig through those public litter bins and find mail to send to someone's home, if they're misusing the public litter bin. So the SWEEP program, ultimately they are responsible for the role that the government plays in making sure that residents understand and business owners understand what they should be doing in terms of waste management.
Now, if, say, a reporter wanted to follow a member of your SWEEP team around, hint, hint, news department, how would they distinguish between that member and somebody who's, well, dumpster diving?
Well, our district government employees are in uniform, usually always have their government ID, so there's always an ability to distinguish them from someone else.
Adam, what kinds of household items should not be thrown out in the trash, and how do you go about educating the public on what's banned?
So we ask everybody to take a mindful pause before they put stuff in a bin. and to ask himself, is this recyclable or not? You know, I mentioned plastic a minute ago. Solo cups are something that we do not take at this time. You know, the industry changes from time to time, but that's actually a form of styrofoam, so it's very difficult. But the material and the list of materials that are recyclable or not are easy to find on websites, and we just ask every resident, if you're not sure, just take a moment, do a quick search, and know for the long term, because all those micro behaviors every day, those little decisions about which bin to put stuff in, makes a big difference.
So, Chris, what should be done with things like batteries, old electronics, paint?
Kojo, I'm glad you asked. So, two things. One, on Saturday, every Saturday, we open up our Fort Totten transfer station for household hazardous waste.
Yep.
And the men and women who are there working on Saturdays, very excited to take your hazardous waste. So please do take us up on the offer to come and bring your batteries and other items that we consider household hazardous waste to us. The second item, and one that I'm really excited about, is the zerowaste.dc.gov website. And so please do come visit us on that website. You could find all kinds of information about what you should and should not be throwing away, information about our partners and all the things happening in the district, including the great work happening around composting. That said, there's a What Goes Where tool on that website where you can type in anything, and it gives you very specific locations where that that material should be disposed of. And not only does it give you where you can go to dispose of the material, it actually gives you directions on how to get there. So please do take advantage of the website and the tool What Goes Where on the website.
What about large furniture, mattresses, bookshelves?
We, in the district, we have a bulk collection program. And so if you call our Office of Unified Communications at 311, we will schedule you for bulk pickup. And what that means is that our crews will actually come to your home. There are some specific directions you receive in terms of how to wrap mattresses and that sort, but we'll come to your home and pick up that bulk trash.
In case you're just joining us, that's Chris Shorter. He is the director of the D.C. Department of Public Works. He joins us in studio. Joining us by phone is Adam Ortiz, director of Prince George's County Department of the Environment. Chris, D.C. does have a composting program you mentioned that's a year old. It's just reopened at farmers markets again for the warm months. How does it work?
Yeah, Coach, I have to say I am so excited to be talking about these issues and I just really want to thank you.
You're the most low-key excited person I've ever met in my life.
Yes. So that said, you are absolutely right. The mayor did kick off our food waste drop-off program last year, and we reopened the programs this past weekend. And so in every ward of the city, we are collecting food waste. At this point, since last year, we have collected 150,000 pounds of waste, food waste, that would have otherwise gone to a landfill or to a waste-to-energy facility. So that said, we're very proud of it. 20,000 participants or drops since that time. So if you go to our website, zerowaste.dc.gov, you can get information on where your farmer's market is. We are working really hard to make those programs year-round. There are three programs that are year-round, but for now, and starting this past weekend, in every ward, there are at least one food waste drop-off program close to you.
Adam, Prince George's benefits not only from its own landfill and recycling facility, but also a composting facility. What made these resources possible?
You know, we have a lot of good policies and a lot of good people that came before us, and we're lucky to benefit from it. And, you know, like Chris, I can't say I'm as excited as Chris, but I'm very excited about our composting operation outside of Upper Marlboro. We have a more than 100-acre facility where we process more than 50,000 tons of yard waste and compost. And our food scrap program is the real exciting one. We partnered with the Gore-Tex company, you know, the company that makes outdoor wear. They've actually designed a jacket for compost. So, and this jacket is about the size of a basketball court. And with that jacket, we're able to control the moisture and the temperature and the airflow and accelerate our compost time. And so we've been able to take a lot more food scraps, You know, more than 30% of what people are throwing in the landfill is actually food scraps. And we have more than 30 institutions that are bringing us material. And we turn that into a compost product that, you know, we sell and put back out into the soil of our region.
You compost for a lot of local universities and companies. Who's on that list? Do they compost for the good vibes that come from helping the environment? What's the cost benefit here?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have so many institutions, from the University of Maryland to American University to the Smithsonian, that are bringing us material. Chevy Chase, Tacoma Park, University Park, Bowie. And they do it for a mix of reasons, Kojo. Number one, the economics are better. To take food scrap material and tip it, which is dumping it at our compost facility, is a fraction of the price, less than half of the price of sending that same tonnage to the landfill. So there's an economic incentive. But there is an underground movement. There is so much excitement about compost. So the businesses save money, but residents, for example, have to pay to have it picked up. And I know the district and we in Prince George's are doing pilot programs with curbside pickup. But otherwise, these communities like University Park and Tacoma, residents pay about $30 a month to have a company come by, pick up that material, and take it. So people are paying out of their pocket to get their rotting food to our compost facility. So I really do think that there is a lot of goodwill. There's a lot of consciousness. And there's just a lot of emphasis on people doing, you know, what they can, you know, in their own backyards and in their own kitchens.
We got an email from Laura. With the upcoming segment on recycling, please discuss if we are dumping garbage in the ocean or shipping our garbage out of the area. Chris Shorter, when the district replaced its trash and recycling bins in 2014, they did not recycle all the old cans as promised, but hauled at least 132 truckloads of old cans to Virginia to be incinerated. At the time, the district said the cans were presenting a safety risk and needed to be disposed of immediately. I'd like to be clear that this was before you joined the Department of Public Works, but what has your team learned from this incident? What does it take to earn the public's trust when people remember incidents like this? And can you answer Laura's question about whether DC is shipping garbage out of the area?
Sure. So in terms of 2012, you're right. I was not with the Department of Public Works at the time, and actually don't have any history on what may have happened in terms of those recycle bins. I will say that we have made, under Mayor Bowser, so much progress around our recycling and waste management practices. And I will also say that in terms of composting and what is going to be happening in the coming years, in the next 3 to 5 years, there's a lot to be proud of. So in terms of what we're doing right now with our recycling and waste, we are currently using waste to energy to dispose of most of our waste, the largest percentage of our waste, and that facility is in Fairfax County. And so in terms of recycling, we use a contract to haul out recycling, and the recycling industry in general is going through quite a transformation right now. I would say China and what's happening in China is going to really impact many jurisdictions in America in terms of how recycling is processed. But I hope that answers Laura's question.
There are some residents who still swear that they see city trash collectors dumping recycling in trash trucks. If that happens, why?
That should not be happening. And if it is, we definitely want to hear from you. I will say that, and I say this often, 70% of our trash and recycling crew, 70% of our employees are district residents. And so they have just as much pride in our city and making sure our city is beautiful as our residents. That said, if you believe you see a crew dumping recycling into a trash truck, then please do call us to let us know. We would, based on the location and time, be able to track down pretty easily which truck and which crew that was.
Christopher Short is the director of D.C.'s Department of Public Works. Adam Ortiz is the director of Prince George's County's Department of the Environment. And joining us in studio now is Neil Seldman. He is president of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Neil Seldman, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Over the years, you have advised multiple D.C. mayors on environmental issues. How have you seen the district change over time in its approach to waste management?
Well, I would say it's night and day, and I want to congratulate the two people I'm on the program with, because citizen pressure has forced the jurisdictions to pay attention to recycling and composting, and we get excellent administrators as a result of citizen input into this local issue. The D.C. program is moving forward. We have to go back to 2014. When, with grassroots support, the City Council passed the Reform, Solid Waste Management Reform Act, which literally has given Mr. Shorter a pathway or a guidance as to what issues to focus on, and of course he's focusing on them quite well with his staff. The compost program is moving ahead as he described. There's also a backyard composting program, which is the most efficient way of getting rid of household food, which is being implemented. The transfer stations are being renovated, which is critical. The transfer stations are worth, can't estimate what they're worth, and Mayor Williams and City Council Chair Schwartz got the money to rehab those facilities maybe 15 years ago, and now they're being rehabbed again as is necessary, because that could be a major bottleneck. Having said that, tremendous praise for both Mr. Ortiz.
You do see some blind spots, don't you?
I see some areas of opportunity. And in fact, my argument would be, if I were the czar of Washington, D.C., would be to give more resources to Mr. Shorter, because he's moving in the direction that has three benefits for the city. It lowers costs, it creates jobs, and it improves the environment. And that's a triple bottom line. And the numbers I see make it very clear that getting away from the incinerator will both save the city money and reduce pollution. That incinerator in Lawton is the worst polluter we have in our region, and it really is devastating to low-income people and elderly people. We should stop using it, and it's cheaper to use landfill and less polluting to use landfill. There are other real tremendous areas of opportunity. I'll just mention one: glass, which is a major problem. It's very inefficiently done. I won't go into details, but the glass we recycle is not being recycled. And the other stuff is the e-scrap, electronic scrap, which is the fastest growing part of the waste stream and the most valuable. So those are two tremendous opportunities. And I'm very confident that Mr. Shorter and his team will be getting
to
those.
You would like to see a glass drop-off system throughout the city, just like composting bins. You feel that the glass companies would pay for it?
There's no question that they would. Other cities are doing it. Fayetteville, Arkansas has a deal with Ripple Glass. The Glass Packaging Institute is giving grants to cities to set up glass programs. And there are two major corporate funding programs, the Recycling Partnership and the Closed Loop Partnership, which are providing interest-free loans and grants to cities to deal with the glass. Glass is very valuable, but if it's mixed in a single-stream system, which we have in the district right now, it becomes a contaminant to the materials, and it also threatens the machinery at the processing center.
Adam Ortiz, I've got two questions for you, but I'll let John in Prince George's County deal with his issue first. John, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Kojo. This is directed primarily at Adam Ortiz. Yeah, I'm a PG County resident. I do developing. I pay a lot of real estate tax just for background. But, you know, I travel a lot. I think this is one of the dirtiest counties. When I drive through it, it seems like every time you go around a cloverleaf or a highway ramp, that's where everybody dumps their stuff. And it's just everywhere. When you ride the train to the airport, even in the swamp, you see garbage. I wonder, you know, why. I think Adam Ortiz and Rashern Baker should be a little embarrassed at the way their county looks. I mean, I've been all over the country, and for a relatively non-urban
area. Okay, I get your
area,
point. Allow me to have Adam Ortiz respond. We don't have that much time. Adam?
Yeah, John, I share your concern, and so does Mr. Baker. We spend about $16 million along with our state partners cleaning up litter, but we have a lot more to do. And actually, early next month, we're going to be releasing a litter plan that focuses on the root causes. The clover leaves are an issue, and that's a state highway issue, and we are in coordination with them. But your concern is definitely noted and shared, John.
Thank you very much for your call, John. And Adam, we got this email from Ashley. I think that one of the major issues with recycling is that there are so many differences between each jurisdiction in our DMV area. I know that I have all the best intentions, but oftentimes I'm wary of what to put where, and we don't have clear guidelines. I would love if the different jurisdictions in the area could get together and come up with one single way that people can recycle so that they don't have to worry about where they are and when they're throwing something away. Is that a solvable problem, Adam?
That is a solvable problem, but the industry actually is consolidating. So although we have different collection, the buyers of the commodity are very similar. The concern is absolutely noted. The materials are much more uniform, and we try our best, as we've heard, to educate people on changes in the industry. But, absolutely noted, and they know we can never educate people enough.
Chris, is there ever collaboration among public works departments in the region?
Oh, sure, sure. In fact, our Council of Governments, or COG, what we call it, there are many administrators and government officials that are partnering and working together. I will say that in terms of doing some sort of collaboration around what we accept, this is certainly possible, and given how up and down the market is right now, probably something that we can do with Northern Virginia, certainly in PG County.
Neil, how does DC's recycling rate compare to surrounding jurisdictions?
Well, DC and Baltimore are comparable. They're in the low 20% recycling and composting. Montgomery County is at about 40%. I do not know the rate for Prince George's County, but I'm sure Adam can correct me. I imagine it's between 40 and 50% that combines recycling and composting. 35% is the national average, which is really a misnomer because we have cities across the country in the 60 and 70% diversion. So any city could get to that 60, 70, even higher percent diversion. They just have to copy what cities are doing across the country.
Why is DC's recycling rate a little lower, Chris? What growth do you have planned for the district's program?
Yeah, I'm very excited about the future, very excited about what is coming again in the next 3 to 5 years. And so I'll answer two ways, or say two things. One, in the next 3 to 5 years, so right now, district residents have a recycle bin and a waste can or waste bin. We will be adding to that a compost bin, so essentially a third bin to curbside waste. And so that is going to transform the way that we manage waste in our city and reduce the amount of solid waste that we're generating. And so that will certainly improve and educate residents about what should be and what should not be thrown away and or recycled. That said, in terms of recycling, I think this really is an education challenge. And we have started and will be continuing a pretty intensive education campaign in Washington, D.C. around what should and what should not be recycled, and how residents and businesses can make sure that they're doing their part to recycle properly.
Don't have a lot of time left, but please go ahead.
If I could just add, education is critical, but also cities are using economic incentives. There are a variety of them, and the 2014 law, which I mentioned, includes an assignment, if you will, for the DC DPW to explore unit pricing, which means you pay for the amount of garbage you put out, but you don't pay for the recycling and composting you put out. And that needs a study, and I know that's on the agenda for Mr. Shorter and his team.
Absolutely.
And Adam, David in Bowie, Maryland, has a very specific question for you. David, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I live in Bowie. I know where my little station is. I can take oil and antifreeze. but I have no idea where I take batteries. I have them for my truck, for my car, for my motorcycle, but I don't know where to take them. I know I can't take them to the one in Bowie.
Adam?
Thank you, David. The answer is in Upper Marlboro. We have a convenience drop-off center near the landfill. And, you know, and I also want to add, Kojo, and Neil kind of queued it up. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Prince George's County, for the third year in a row, leads the state of Maryland and the DMV in our diversion rate. And our diversion rate, which includes recycling and composting, is at about 60%. And, you know, regardless of all the efforts and, you know, some of the criticisms which are founded, you know, we're all going in the right direction, and, you know, we just love partnering with our sister jurisdictions because there's so much more that we can do as a region. And so I'm very optimistic about the future.
Adam, congratulations on reaching that level. That's terrific.
David, thank you very much for your call. Here's Sam Rath in Fairfax County. Sam Rath, you're on the air. You only have about 30 seconds.
All right, thank you. I work for Clean Fairfax, which is a nonprofit that focuses on sustainability. One thing that we do is try to convince people to not generate so much trash in the first place. But one thing that people have that they really struggle with is going to the grocery store. It's hard to avoid plastic and other sorts of trash because the grocery stores just package everything in a certain way. So how can we incentivize industry to use less packaging and more recyclable packaging? Thank you.
Well, that's the way it was done in the District of Columbia by imposing a 5-cent charge on those bags. But Sam Rast had identified himself as being with the zero waste movement, and I'm pretty sure that you, Neil, are familiar with that.
Yes, the zero waste movement is really running around the world, becoming very, very popular. And one of the things that's going on overseas, not in the United States, is that if companies use packaging that's not recyclable or hard to recycle, they have to pay an extra tax on it. In particular, laws like this go after hybrid packaging, a package that might have plastic and metal in it combined. Both are recyclable, but if they're attached to each other, they're not recyclable.
Freda, that's all the time we have. Neil Seldman, Adam Ortiz, Chris Shorter, thank you all for joining us. That's it for the show today. Tomorrow it's your turn to talk about anything and everything affecting Washingtonians, from how regional leaders are cooperating to lure Amazon here to motorized scooters. Until then, thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Namdi.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Angelisa Schroepsdorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Avery Kleiman, Diana Mustock, and Julie Deppenbrock. Our engineer is Meg Bunting. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at kojoshow.org.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.